If you remember a few weeks ago, well, some of you were here, Jesus tells the story of the miners, which is a bit like the parable of the talents, but not exactly the same. He uses the story of Herod's sons going off to Rome to beg Caesar to make them king over a little portion of Israel. And he uses the fact that the Jews also went to Rome and said to Caesar, we don't want Archelaus, Herod's son, we don't want him. So he uses that. And you'll recall also that the reason he tells the story is because for 10 chapters, they've been getting nearer and nearer. They've been in the north, chapter 9 of Luke, Transfiguration. And then they go closer and closer, all the chapters. And now, by chapter 19, they're almost at Jerusalem, where they've got this inkling that the kingdom is suddenly, it's all going to be hunky-dory. Jesus is going to be enthroned as king, and all their problems are going to be over. And he lets them know that he's not going to be, the king is going to actually leave them. In fact, the king is going to die and leave earth. He'll leave them. And remember the point we made that 2 weeks ago was the point that Jesus makes us, in the king's apparent absence, will they still trust the king? Will they still trust him when he's not there? And the application for us, will we still, if we say we're Christians, do we still trust Jesus when things are not going well? We've heard in the testimony, when things are tough, really tough, will you still trust Jesus when the gospel's watered down, when church is dull, when you're unhappy with other people in the church, when the hymns are dragging, when the Christians are letting you down, when we see a lack of fairness and justice in the world, in Hollywood and in Westminster and in your own lives? Will you still trust Jesus then? Well, all that we covered before. Now, this morning, I just want to focus on the actual parable itself. The king is going away. He calls 10 servants and he shares out 10 miners, a substantial amount of money. He's not paying them wages. These are gifts. And if you like details, a day's wage for a Roman soldier was a denarius. The Greek equivalent roughly was a drachma. And a miner was 100 drachma. So we're talking about roughly 3 months' wages. Now, whatever you earn, 3 months' wages is a lot of money. And he's sharing that out amongst his 10 servants. So with 10 miners, that's 2.5 years' wages. So it's a lot of money. This king, of his own money, is giving to these people to say, I want you to use it in my absence so that when I come back, I'll be checking up. So he's not just giving them a pound for the trolley. He's giving them a lot of money, a lot of his own money. He's entrusting thousands of pounds to his servants, and what they do with it matters. That's the point. And what did they do? Well, the first two, phenomenal, 1,000% profit, 500% profit, tremendously well, and they rewarded handsomely. But the third one comes, and he's basically wrapped it up in a rag. He hasn't done anything with it. He couldn't even be bothered to go to the moneylender and get some simple interest. He just neglected the gift and wrapped it up in a rag. And he loses out big time. So what can we learn this morning at 11:15 in Town Hill? Well, obviously, it's nothing to do with Mark Carney and the interest rates. He's not a capitalist, Jesus. He's not talking actually about where you invest your money. He's talking about himself as king, and that he gives gifts to those who say they're his children, to his servants, and they are to use those gifts. You notice the first two, even though phenomenal profit, they don't take any credit for it. Isaiah 26, where Isaiah says, all we've accomplished, Lord, you've done. So they are the same. They don't pat themselves on the back and say, look, it's not like The Apprentice with Alan Sugar. They're not full of pride in what they've done. The Lord has done it. But you notice also that the rewards are not, well, chill out and relax, but more opportunities to serve. 10 servants, how many are mentioned? 3. What about the other 7? It doesn't matter, because although there are 10 servants, they're in 2 groups. Those who've used the gift, those who haven't. It's that simple. I know there are degrees of reward, but basically there are those who use the gift and they are handsomely rewarded, whether it's 5 or 10 cities, and those who don't use the gift, who actually lose out in massive way. In other words, when the king returns, he will call his servants. Some will be faithful, handsomely rewarded. Some will be unfaithful. They might look the part. You know, you go to a restaurant, say, a busy restaurant. There's a number of waiters rushing around, but one of them, he really looks the part. You know, he's tall, broad-shouldered, beautifully gelled hair, in a lovely, tight-fitting white shirt with a lovely tie. You know, he looks the part. You call him over, and you say, could you fetch me the salt and pepper? And he's very polite. He says, certainly, certainly. And then 10 minutes later, he's still waiting because he's forgotten about it completely. And then when he does come with the gravy, he tips some of it down the back of your neck. He looks the part. But actually, when you give him the opportunity to serve, he's worse than useless. He's not a servant. He's a liability. And the unfaithful servants here, they may look the part. Maybe you look the part. Maybe you talk the talk. Anybody can. But when the king returns, he will expose some for being unfaithful, a sham, fake, counterfeit Christians. Because when he comes, everything is brought out into the open, see. The books will be opened. We hear in all the time now, one allegation after another against politicians and pop stars and producers. And there must be hundreds of others absolutely terrified that somebody's going to dredge up something that happened 25 years ago. But the point is, the books are already open to God. Startling revelations, but not to God. He knows anyway. And he knows about you and me. He has the inside story on your life and my life. You know, if we're tempted to feel that we are better than Kevin Spacey or Harvey Weinstein or a whole bucket full of MPs at the moment, well, the books will be opened. And every closet, yours and mine, we've all got skeletons in there. Everybody has. There are people sitting here this morning. I've hugely disappointed them. I've disappointed myself, but I disappointed them. And when I've disappointed them, I've disappointed him, the Lord. And actually, however much I've disappointed them, I've disappointed the Lord so much more because he knows my thoughts. He knows my whole life. I'm a huge disappointment to him, which is why I need to be forgiven. Because unless I'm forgiven, that huge disappointment will mean I can't get to heaven. All my sins against other people, and there's so many people that I've upset over the years with my sin. All my sins against them, I've been against him as well. And I've sinned against people that he loves, people he's created. The Bible is clear, my best deeds are filthy rags. My best deeds. You think of your best deeds. I did this the night I was converted. I was listing my greatest achievements, and then to realize that they are filthy rags. My best things are. Well, what are my worst things like? You need to answer that question, mind, every one of you. What are my worst things like? If you haven't ever answered that, you need to answer it now. If my best things are filthy rags, how bad are my worst things? Because surely I don't deserve hell. That's what we think. Oh, this is an overreaction on God's part if I deserve hell. That's because we've no idea how bad our things are. We've no idea. I remember in 1990, I'd just gone into Christian work, and I used to watch every night, if I could, Neighbours and Home and Away, because all the kids that in the schools I visited, and most of the staff, they were in programs. And there were regularly great illustrations you could use. And I remember one of them. There's a young lady, young guy, boyfriend, girlfriend in Home and Away. And she's really upset. He's done something. I don't know what he's done. I can't remember. He's done something. And she's really upset. So he brings up chocolates. And the following day, he brings her flowers. She's not impressed. So in the end, he says, oh, I've booked this lovely restaurant. You know, let's go there tonight. And she says to him, yeah, flowers, chocolates, restaurant. Point is, you've no idea how much you've hurt me. And as he said, I thought, well, there's my assembly for the following day. Because we've no concept of how much we've hurt God. That's why anybody can say, well, I think hell is unfair, I don't deserve hell, that's because you've no idea how much you've hurt him. Not a clue. Especially when, despite my crimes against him, especially when he comes with the gospel that I can be forgiven, especially when his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, hangs on a cross for my sin, especially when I just say, yeah, that's nice. And that's it. And some of you, you haven't even done that much. Or some of you say, oh yeah, oh, I believe that. Yeah, oh yes, I love the songs this morning. It's lovely to hear Kerry sharing her testimony. I enjoy that. And that's it. It's just words. Oh, you talk the talk like the servants did. When you do that, see, you're just like the guy who wrapped it up in a rag. That's what you're like. And buried it. This gospel, oh, this gospel is a precious gift. And I'm warning you, warning you, every one of you this morning, use it or you will lose it. It is that simple. That's the point of the parable here. You need to examine ourselves, every single one of us. We need to ask ourselves, well, how bad are my bad things, my worst things? And have I received this gift? And if I have, what have I done with it? Amen. Well, let's sing some great songs already this morning. It's another one. Jesus, you'll take the highest honor. For all honor and blessing and power belongs to you. Belongs to you. In heaven now, everybody who's there, they're not praising each other at all. They've fallen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing.